This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
From high atop the Hotel Pneumonia. From the nasal congestion room, that's Deacon Tom, and...
This is more like an infirmary.
Hi, everyone. Deacon and Dee.
Hi.
And we are, we're both sort of... Are you trying to get sick?
I'm trying to get sick, and you're trying to get over yours.
Yeah. Well, I struggle with something that the doctor, she used the word pneumonia-itis. I have no idea what that means. Maybe that's one of those things, if they don't know what it is, they just make up a term for it.
Well, I wish she or you'd make up your mind. I've heard light pneumonia. I've heard early pneumonia.
Yeah, right.
Pneumonia-itis.
Right. Who cares? It was a lot of sneezing, a lot of wheezing, a lot of medicine, some very strong antibiotics. And I'm just today beginning to feel a little bit better. I did a mass last night as deacon and two today, and I really felt pretty tired when I was finished.
But you cannot, like, jump back in and just go into your normal pre-sickness schedule.
You don't think so?
You've got to take it easy. That's
okay.
All I keep hearing from people that I know that are nurses. And, you know, you've got to just relax a little bit.
Okay, let's close the podcast right now, and we'll see everybody
okay.
next
time. All right, bye.
All right, dear, what's going on? Hey, it's been several weeks since we've been on the air.
It is. I almost forgot what vitamin we're up to.
Vitamin L.
Laity.
Wow. Yeah. You mean you can take a pill and you can become more like Catholic laity? That's a great idea. Well, that's what this show is about. That's where the idea came from.
Episode 213, and our guest is...
Terry Barber. Now, if you've ever heard of St. Joseph Communications, if you've ever heard of... No, we've actually interviewed somebody from Lighthouse Catholic Media. If you've ever heard of Lighthouse Catholic Media, both of those are founded by our guest, Terry Barber. He is on fire. He's rapid fire. And I got a hold of him, and we did a wonderful interview. My name is either Deacon Tom or Deacon Bob. He kept calling me Bob during the interview.
He's going to be embarrassed.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. And I tell you what, I have been reading his book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone. This is related to us, well, the laity sharing the faith. And he would be a good one to interview and talk about things he's done in his faith walk to share the faith. So we're looking forward to the interview.
Well, you've kind of broken out of the laity category now.
Yeah, I guess.
You're a designated clergy.
I know, but I'm trying to help.
But I'm still laity.
Yes, you are. And I'm trying to help our laity become more on fire. Sometimes I think they probably think I push a little bit too much, but that's what my calling is. Thanks be to God.
So we've touched on your illness,
yes.
Which is why we didn't podcast last week, because you had pneumonia,
mm-hmm.
and you were feeling not so well. So we just decided not to try recording. And I'm starting to come down with something. I don't know what, but I am taking all kinds of precautions and trying to keep it from not getting any more serious than it is.
It's a vitamin L for lazy.
I like any reason to take vitamin L. But we will say, before you got sick, on New Year's Day, we drove up to Winslow, north of here, 90 miles north of here, and spent New Year's Day with our friends at Madonna House.
It was absolutely wonderful. It's been quite a while since we've spent any great amount of time with them, and they invited us for a brunch, and we got to meet a transitional deacon who is also a Madonna House deacon. He is not stationed in the Madonna House Formation headquarters up in
Canada.
He is, in fact, in the seminary, and is it in Virginia?
I think he's in Virginia.
Yeah, he's in the seminary, and he's got three more classes to go through, three more semesters, and he'll be ready for ordination, God willing.
It was a lovely visit.
Yeah, and the six Madonnas were there, and we just shared stories. And wouldn't you know, I was sharing with them about Catholic vitamins and talking about Father Simon Stock.
Lobo. Gosh, where'd that come from?
I don't know, Father Simon Lobo. And Lisa, who is also from India, the country India, knew Father Lobo and was friends with Father Lobo's sister. And so we went back and I contacted Father Lobo and shared the information. And he said, oh, yes, I remember Lisa. So that was kind of fun.
It's a small world.
It really is. And good to be with friends who are in love with the faith.
And we had our New Year's Eve annual adoration hour that we have every year. We started this practice up in Colorado.
So we opened the church about 10:40 or 10:45, put a few lights on, and
soft music,
and we did benediction.
Exposed the bless the sacrament, and we usually have about 25 to 30 show up, which mm-hmm. is amazing for our elderly parish, but one of those who show up is not elderly, and that's our friend Carrie, and she comes and brings her children.
She brought four or five this time, didn't she?
Yeah. They come in their PJs, and they usually end up, a couple of them fall asleep. Only one fell asleep this year.
Mm-hmm. So we did the rosary. We did a period of quiet time, and as Dee said, we had soft music during the quiet time. And one of our elderly, really faithful parishioners, Carolyn, said to me, she said, I have learned to love this. She said, it is so important to me to end the year and start the year with adoration.
So, yes, it's a great way to do it.
So, all right, Dee, any other items to start off with?
I didn't have any other prattle items written down.
All right, well, let's take a break and bring in our guest, our correspondent from Naas, Ireland. Fergal O'Neill is with us, and he has some thoughts on our vitamin for today, vitamin L for laity.
Deacon Fergal O'Neill.
There you go, thanks.
When I went looking for a unique and proper definition of the word laity, I didn't find it in the dictionary as I expected, but in the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, which says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. This, of course, is perhaps more familiar to us as the preface of Mass during ordinary time, preface 1. You see, a chosen race is made up of people who freely turn to Christ as their Lord and Saviour. They have gone to the ends of the earth as Jesus requested. They have lived lives that are founded on gospel messages and indeed have danced to the music of the Beatitudes and brought joy to life. In living out the Beatitudes, they, God's chosen ones, bear fruit that lasts. And of course, we also have those among us who are chosen for a more intimate life of service to the gospel, our priests, our deacons and religious. But they're not to be envied as people who perhaps have received extra bonus points from God, nor are they to be looked on as the brother or sister who gets the extra present at Christmas time as a sign of favour. To see vocation to service in that way misses the point of vocation in the first place. Because, you see, all of us have a unique call from God, our own personal vocation. And when that vocation is exercised in the paradoxical kingdom of Christ, we realise very quickly that to those to whom much is given, much is expected. So let us pray for one another as members of Christ's mystical body. Let us pray that we will all be strong witnesses to the charity and love of Christ, and that the lives we give over to service of others will be fulfilling and fruitful. What do we mean by a royal priesthood? Well, this is perhaps one of the most overlooked aspects of the Christian life. Maybe, perhaps, we have narrowed it down to just a ministerial priesthood, forgetting at our own expense that we, as members of Christ's mystical body, have a share in this priesthood. And by sharing in this priesthood, we are called to offer our own sacrifices from wherever we are in life, together with the priest who acts in persona Christi Capitas in the great assembly of the Holy Mass. For it is there that we unite our sacrifices with Christ's single, ultimate sacrifice of himself, and together we make a bouquet of prayer and praise that is most acceptable to the Father. So to reduce the notion of sacrifice to just the one single sacrifice of Calvary that's offered by somebody else is not correct. For we, in union with the priest, offer the sacrifice together, the perfect sacrifice. We accompany this sacrifice on its way to the Father. The three children of Fatima in 1917 were asked by the angel, previous to the apparitions of Our Blessed Lady, to offer prayers and sacrifices continually to the Most High. And of course, being children, they asked, how must we sacrifice ourselves? The angel gave a wonderful answer that we could take to heart today. The angel said, make everything you do a sacrifice, and offer it as an act of reparation for the sins by which God is offended, and as a petition for the conversion of sinners, for by this you will bring peace. So let us take great consolation from these words, and the next time we find ourselves on bended knee at Mass, let us offer our trials, our tribulations, as well as the many times we have denied the empty promises of this world with strength, in favour of living out the gospel. Let's offer all this to the Father, in the sure and the certain hope that their powerful efficacy will save souls and bring peace, forming God's holy nation. Finally, we are called to be a people set apart. So does that mean we remain aloof or separated from our brothers and sisters in the world? No. It means that we make a conscious decision to spend our time, according to our state in life, declaring the praises of him whom, as St. Peter reminds us, has called us out of darkness into his own wonderful light. For in doing this, we become the leaven in the daily mix of life, lifting it up and bringing it closer to God. Our baptism is that mark of separation. Separation from Satan and all his pomps and all his works and all his empty promises, which on so many occasions still seem so alluring. These we are called on to reject not only once solemnly at our baptism, but every single time we are tempted or indeed fall. We must be people of Christ who renew our separation from evil minute by minute, hour by hour, for great fear that it will take a hold over us and bring us away from God. We are, as Blessed John Paul II reminds us, called to be in the world and for the world, but not of the world. So again today, let us make this our prayer to the Father, that we will strive as the great mystical body, laity and religious priests and deacons together, to be as active as the leaven in the dough mix, and make everything we do a sacrifice, offering it for the salvation of the world.
Well, thank you, Fergal O'Neill, Deacon Fergal, all the way from Naas, Ireland, a suburb of Dublin. We miss you and your family. It was good to hear a little bit of the results of Christmas for you and the family. Sounds like it was wonderful for you. And our little package that we sent finally made it there late, huh?
It was late. It took a while, yeah. Just a little background. We are so appreciative of our three correspondents who usually contribute to us most every week that we wanted to send them something Christmas, which we did. But the one to Ireland took a long time to get there. And then we got an email from Deacon Fergal, and he said, well, 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 what a wonderful epiphany gift to receive from you both. Very nice attention to detail. I wonder, was that Reverend Deacon's idea or his beloved wife?
Could be the wife.
In any case, thank you so much. I do hope you're on the mend, Deacon Tom. It's not an easy thing to ship quickly, so take your time and get well soon. You hear that?
A deacon nag too, huh? Okay.
God bless Fergal. And Fergal, next time you listen, I'd like to take the credit for the nice attention to detail, but that was our lovely friend Candy who did that for us.
Absolutely. Great job. I want to say that we're going to play a piece of spoken music, if that makes sense. We're going to play a segment of the Mass as recorded along with reflections from the seminarians at the Archdiocese of Denver. And the piece itself is called the Mass, but it's like being in the Mass and hearing the priest saying some of the words of the Mass and then seminarians giving their reflection. And I think that this fits very well with the importance of us laity participating in the Mass. So thank you, Fergal O'Neill, for sort of giving me the idea to do this. And up next, the Mass, a reflection by the seminarians at the Archdiocese of Denver.
Father, all-powerful and ever-living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When he humbled himself to come among us as a man, he fulfilled the plan you formed long ago and opened for us the way to salvation. Now we watch for the day, hoping that the salvation promised us will be ours when Christ our Lord will come again in his glory. And so with all the choirs of angels in heaven, we proclaim your glory and join in their unending hymn of praise.
The most important part of my day is the Mass. I think it's the center of the day and what gives reason not only to daily activities but to my whole life.
Well, the Mass really means everything to me. The Mass is when we go to the foot of the cross and the sacrifice of Calvary to receive not only grace and redemption but Jesus himself. And I wouldn't be able to live without the Mass. It's the heart of my life.
Lord, you are holy indeed, the fountain of all holiness. Let your Spirit come upon these gifts to make them holy, so that they may become for us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The celebration of the Eucharist is the time when I renew my covenant with Christ, in which he gives his entire life for me in love, and I renew my pledge to give my entire life back to him in return.
It's all about the Mass. The Mass is all about everything. I can see my whole life, all my struggles, successes, my fears and failures, my hopes. I can find everything that is true or meaningful or beautiful somehow contained or represented in the Mass.
The Mass is when I'm closest to Christ, and through that closeness that I experience the greatest love and happiness that I've ever known.
This is my body, which will be given up for you. Supper was ended, he took the cup. Again he gave you thanks and praise. Gave the cup to his disciples and said, take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me.
Well, as you heard at the beginning of the show, our guest today is, gosh, we're just so blessed to have Terry Barber with us. And we're going to get into Catholic Vitamin L for Laity in a minute, but I'd like to just say a few words. Terry is the founder of St. Joseph Communications, the Catholic Resource Center, and you know from our shows that we've interviewed people from Lighthouse Catholic Media, or we've offered some of their resources on our show. Terry is also co-host for the Reasons for Faith live show on EWTN Radio with Jesse Romero. I could just keep going, Terry, but we've got a show to do.
Sure.
So welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Deacon Tom, it's an honor to be with you, my friend.
Thank you so very much. And just by way of layering into who you are, let's start with you as a child. Where did you get started? Where did your faith come from?
Well, I got my faith from my parents. I'm number three of three boys, and I never went to Catholic school in my life, but I got an education in the Catholic faith through Mom and Dad, and then Deacon Tom, at an early age of about 14, I really fell in love with the Mass and the Eucharist, and that's when I found out really a deep understanding of the Mass, and then I started going to daily communion, daily Mass when I was 14, and I haven't stopped. I'm 57 now.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
You know, they really helped me understand the basics on the faith, and they helped me fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ. I couldn't have done it without my parents, that's for sure.
All right. Well, not to spring off topic or our agenda for today, but I'm interested in this sort of conversion. Was it because of a priest, or did you go through some education program or something? How did this come about?
No, we prayed the rosary at home. We were just a typical Catholic family, but I started reading books on the Catholic faith and catechisms. I really found that to be interesting. And as I found out more about the Mass, that it's a reenactment of Calvary, that I'm present at that one eternal sacrifice, I just fell in love with the Mass, and I studied the Mass on my own by reading books and studying, and my prayer life deepened through the Mass and the Eucharist. So I really believe that it was just having good resources in the home that helped me fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His Church.
A couple of prior guests we've had were two priests for different faith topics, but both of them described what we might refer to as baptism in the Spirit. Sounds like you've had some of the gifts of the Spirit come upon you as well.
Yeah. Well, I can just say that when I was a young man, I went to the Knights of the Immaculata summer program, which is a four-week program where I really got to study my Catholic faith full-time. It's like seminary training. And I made a consecration to Our Lady through St. Maximin Kolbe, and that really opened my faith just tremendously, to a point where I thought God was calling me to be a Franciscan monk. So I went to a Come See program at Marytown, which is the Franciscans, found out that that wasn't my calling. In my book, I talk about how that was a powerful experience for me. And when I came back out of the monastery, and believe it or not, I got into doing a real estate as a real estate agent, but I really just started to promote Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living on record. I got these records I listened to, and then I put them onto cassette after I wrote to Archbishop Sheen to get permission from the propagation of the faith, and the rest is history. We just started promoting Bishop Sheen recordings, putting them on radio, and something with Miller, and then that's how I got involved with the media in the sense of promoting the Catholic faith, all because of Archbishop Sheen.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So that sort of explains the the pillars or the foundation for how did St. Joseph Communications as a corporation come about, sure, if you will?
Well, I was doing everything in the late 70s, 78, 79, through the Youth Mission for the Immaculata and through the Marytown, and the Franciscans said, look, this is getting too big. You need to get your own organization to do it. And so I said, okay. So that's when I prayed about, well, what do we want to call this organization? Well, I always had a great devotion to St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing Catholic radio, and I said, well, let's call it St. Joseph Communications. And by golly, that's what we called it. And I'm glad we did, because he's been a great patron for us.
And most people, I believe, practicing Catholics would be aware of St. Joseph Communications, but give an overview of what you do and what you have available.
Yeah, what we've done, and it's really a tie-in with Lighthouse Catholic Media, because Lighthouse is really taking over St. Joseph's completely this year.
Mm.
And what we did is we started putting recordings of Archbishop Sheen and other famous recordings of Catholic evangelists on cassette. Then we started doing books on tape with Ignatius Press and working with pro-life groups, Human Life International, Catholic Answers we started working with, doing apologetic CDs or cassettes back then. And so we would put on conferences, we sponsor radio programs with Dr. Scott Hahn. And it just spread, and we would record conferences around the country. And then after, I think it was 1995, we started the Catholic Resource Center, and that was more on putting on conferences. So we would put on national conferences, family conferences all over the country. And then in 2005, we started Lighthouse Catholic Media, and after just 2 years, we basically started a whole new corporation, and Lighthouse has just blossomed into over 6,500 parishes. And I'm giving you the short story of it, Deacon Bob, but then now I'm stepping out of any administrative services, because I'm going around the country speaking on how to share your faith with anyone, which is my new book, and basically doing Catholic radio during the week, and training Lighthouse reps. So my life is basically changing big time in 2014.
Well, one of the great joys of talking with you is I have such a joy about our Catholic faith, and I'm so excited about it, and I sense the same joy after all these years still active in you.
To people who are in love with Jesus Christ, brother.
Amen. Amen. So I've, over the years as a deacon, I've observed different sorts of laity, and I know this may sound judgmental, but I don't mean it that way. There's holy, reverent worshipers, there's gospel activated social concern Catholics, there's Sunday Catholics, I'm here, what else should I do? But can you, from your vantage point, share a common calling that should be expressed to all Catholic laity?
Absolutely. I can call it because it's right from the Second Vatican Council. And this is something that I, like you, I kind of find like, hey, have the laity heard this? Because the role of the laity is to sanctify the temporal order. That's right from the documents of Vatican II. So as a good real estate agent, I live my faith being a good real estate agent. Whether you're a doctor, attorney, we have to bring our faith into the world and to sanctify the temporal order. That's the role we've been given. And even Pope John Paul II, he wrote this years ago. He said, I sense the moment has come to commit all the church energies to a new evangelization. And he says, no believer in Christ, no institution of the church can avoid this supreme duty to proclaim Christ to all people. We've got our marching orders.
Amen. Amen. So let's layer into your book now. You know, some of us, I'll just use a global us, are intimidated. Some don't like confrontation, like at the Christmas dinner table that we just had where family got together. Some don't know how to share with a clerk at Walmart or a supermarket when someone says, why are you wearing that cross, or something that would start a conversation. Can your book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, help us in this area?
That's exactly, Deacon Bob, where it's going to help you get into conversations to share the faith with anyone. I have basically baptized some principles in what I do as a salesman. Basically, I would be selling real estate on planet Earth for years. I look at myself now, I'm selling real estate in heaven. And what I mean by that is I'm trying to help people get to heaven. And so some of the principles I use is on my chapter 5, it says the 8 laws of effectively sharing your faith with anyone. Keep it simple. Don't get complicated with people. And I have these 8 laws, call people by name. If I don't call people by name when I'm sharing the gospel, they might be thinking about the ball game tonight. You know, ask questions. I have a whole list of things to do. So, for example, when you're with somebody, how do you get into a conversation with someone at Walmart or at the grocery store? And you have to learn how to ask questions. You know, that's all. Call people by name, show and explain. I have all these principles in my book. And a lot of people are afraid that they can't share the faith because they're not, you know, so to speak, trained. There's not a lot of training, man. If you love Jesus, you've got a story to tell. And that's what I share with people. Like in my book, I have so many stories. Deacon Bob, I have a simple story that anyone on this radio show could do without any degree in theology. Here it comes. A guy, a friend of mine, goes to a restaurant to meet a business partner, and it's time. The guy doesn't show up at a very fancy restaurant. So he says, I'm going to eat anyway. So he blesses himself before the food when the waiter brings it, and an old woman across the table sees him bless himself and prays grace. The old woman says, young man, why did you do that? My friend John gets up and says, ma'am, are you talking to me? Yeah. He says, well, I thank God every moment. I mean, this is life is a gift. I'm thanking him for the food that I'm eating. You know, that's why I pray my grace. Well, the lady starts to cry a little, like she's tearing up, and John says, what's wrong? Are you okay? He says, well, I just lost my husband after 60 years of marriage. My friend John says, well, my condolences. So far, can anybody do that? Of course. It's called courtesy. So then it's kindness. So John says, don't forget, ma'am, your prayers, your actions can affect your husband's soul and any of the other souls that have died before us. You have value in your old age because you can offer up all your suffering for the good of the church and for those poor souls. And then he quotes one Bible verse from Colossians. And then the woman really tears up. And after she gets her composure, she says, young man, I want to thank you for sharing that with me because I had planned to commit suicide after this big dinner I'm eating because I didn't think my life was worth living. And you've shown me that it is. God love you.
Amen.
That's how simple evangelization is. We Catholics can't be afraid to bring Christ to a world that acts like God doesn't exist. That's my message in my book.
Terry, I have a Deacon Tom story, if I could share one with you.
I want to hear it, brother. I love it.
Well, I was convicted some time ago to always, always wear my deacon cross on any of my clothes, whether I'm in sweats or clerics. And one time when I was taking trash to the dump here in North Central Arizona, you have to pay on your way out. They weigh your vehicle going in, and you have to pay on the way out. And I stepped up to the window to pay, and the fellow asked me where I got the attractive cross that I had on. And, of course, it was the perfect offering to say to him that I'm a deacon in the Catholic Church, and it was one of the greatest gifts that Jesus had ever given to me, besides my faith and my marriage, was to become a deacon in the Catholic Church. And I just let it lay there, and he had to share something personal in his life, but it was
1 minute of evangelization that I would have not had any opportunity to do were it not for the cross.
Beautiful. Thanks. See, that's my point. You know, we have opportunities to share our love for Jesus all the time, but we Catholics just have to understand that these are opportunities of grace for us to be a witness. And in my book, I have dozens and dozens of simple stories of how powerful your witness can be. Even this can be a powerful witness. I assume you're married, Deacon Bob. I'm married. I walk my wife after work for 20-some years around our block. And I didn't realize, you know, we're hand in hand or arm in arm. And the lady comes out of the house and says, "Excuse me, what's your secret?" I'm looking at her going, "Well, I don't have a secret. What are you talking about, lady?" "No, I see you guys always walking around the block and talking, and you act like you guys are in love still. What's your secret?" So I said to her, "Well, I realize my love will not last because it is strong with my wife. I realize that the only reason my love will be strong is because I have the power to renew it." I took it right from Archbishop Sheen's Three to Get Married. We both read it before we got married. This is how we fall in love. This is how we stay in love. And the woman was blown away. Mm. But the point of it was, I didn't say anything. We walked for 20 years arm in arm, and that lady was watching us. So my point to everybody is, you know, you're not showing off by holding your arm or your wife's hand when you go for a walk, or, you know, you're, these are examples of how you can share the faith by sometimes not even words, but by actions.
I have another example, but it's by way of leading us me into another question for you. There is a fellow that came into our church. He's a revert to Catholicism after, I think it's 20 years of being a Assembly of God participant, and he was a preacher for quite a few years. He was a pastor in Oklahoma for the Assembly of God.
Yeah.
He came to a deep, deep awareness of the Eucharist.
Great.
And he and I, Tom and Dave, go out to, at least once a week to have breakfast after morning mass. And he will tell his story to a waitress, to somebody at the at the checkout desk. He is just on fire. He doesn't, right. He's not obnoxious about it. He's very engaging about it. And my question to you is, how important is it, Terry, that we each are prepared to give an answer to the joy that we have in our hearts?
Very, very important. I have a whole chapter in my book on how to share your faith with anyone. I might just add, I spend two or three weekends at parishes every week, every month, talking to people at the bulletin announcement time. I make an announcement on how to share your faith with anyone and bring back fallen away Catholics. And I teach that to the people when I come out to your parish. So if any of your listeners would want me to come to your parish and help fire up the troops, that's what I do now. And you can, I'll just give you my 800-526-2151 extension 419 number, or they can email Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at Saint, SaintJoe.com, and I'd be happy to come to parish, to your parish, or to do some event at your parish. I'm going to be in Arizona in February at, I think, Our Lady of Grace in Carefree, Arizona, doing just that. So, I mean, I encourage your listeners, this is a book that a sixth grader can read and understand. As a matter of fact, an 88-year-old woman called me and said, "I have been a very quiet Catholic all my life, and after reading your book, I've changed. You're proactive and sharing with people the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I didn't know I should be doing this until I read your book." That's success for me, if one soul was touched. But this book is actually a book that will help any Catholic become more effective in sharing the good news to their relatives and friends.
The book is called Share Your Faith with Anyone, or excuse me,
How to Share Your Faith with anyone.
And
I might add, Dr. Scott Hahn wrote the introduction to my book, and I've got an endorsement from Archbishop Gomez in Los Angeles. He says this about me after I gave him a lot of money, folks, to say this. He says, "Terry Barber has been one of the church's finest evangelists." And they basically says you need to get this book to help share the good news about your hope in Jesus Christ. Carl Keating has endorsed it from Catholic Answers. Steve Ray, Cardinal Pell in Australia. Cardinal Pell. So I'm getting a lot of good results from people who read this book. And I want to, the reason I did this is to help people share their hope that they have about Jesus Christ, because the world is desperately in need of witnesses for our Lord.
May I interject a quick smile? You mentioned Most Reverend Jose Gomez.
Yes.
He used to be the auxiliary in Denver. I was ordained in Denver.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was called one time to go deacon at a mass at a resort center where he was coming in to speak to a group that was there. And so, you know, and our listeners would know that the deacon is almost always the one to proclaim the gospel. And so I received the bishop from then auxiliary, Jose Gomez, and went over and I proclaimed the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then I was coming back to the altar as he was coming over from his chair, and I was facing the tabernacle, and I didn't know this because I was just closing my eyes, thinking that I was able to proclaim the gospel. And I hear a voice saying, "Tom, Tom." It was the Archbishop, facing the altar, and I was facing the tabernacle. I had my back to him.
Yeah.
He's telling me, "Tom, turn around. Let's do the altar." So my one time working as a deacon for Auxiliary Bishop Gomez in Denver had a smile attached to it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, he's a great man. Yeah, there's no question about it. He's really leading the largest diocese in the country now. We're twice the size of New York or Chicago, and he's doing a great job, and we're just blessed to have him.
All right. Well, before we wrap up our time together, let's pick one, two, or three examples of why Catholic laity, and I'll say even many clergy, don't evangelize. You've addressed one of them that maybe they don't feel like they have been trained. You've answered that one already.
Yeah.
Can you think of one or two more reasons?
Sure. I have a chapter 3, why Catholics don't evangelize. You know, fear keeps Catholics from evangelizing. Unfortunately, a lot of them are afraid of being humiliated because they're unable to explain adequately some of the church's teachings. You know, the Catholics fear they don't know Scripture as well, or Bible quoting. And so simply put, they're afraid that their answers will not be good enough. And sometimes they're only fears of embarrassment, you know, to strain relationships, or they fear less than perfect answers. And then still, this is a sad one, Deacon Bob, but some Catholics are just simply apathetic.
Mm.
They have their religion, and I'm happy with it. That's it. They don't want to share it. They don't realize that there's a mandate in Scripture, the Church outlining, and you know, these previous chapters of my book. That's a bad excuse. We're all called to share the good news with the world. That's why the Church exists. And so that's some of the reasons why Catholics feel like they can't evangelize. And I'm convinced, big time, that when Catholics realize that this, I mean, I'll give you an example, Deacon Bob. Catholics go on a vacation and we go and tell our brother or sister about going to Hawaii, how great it was. Or if we go to a restaurant and have a great meal, man, you should go to this place. It has T-bone steaks. It has this filet mignon. We had a great meal there. It was terrific. But then ask the people, how many times do they talk about their greatest thing in their life, and that's their relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it has to change. We have to realize that this love of Jesus has to go out of us and share that witness with others, because that's the best thing you can do to share the good news. And then you realize what St. Augustine said, to fall in love with God is the greatest of romances, to seek Him the greatest adventure, and to find Him the greatest human achievement.
Oh, beautiful. How beautiful. Well, let's move towards a close in our time together and just ask, anything happening at St. Joseph Communications or the Catholic Resource Center or Lighthouse Catholic Media that you'd like to plug while we have a minute with our listeners?
There's so many things, but in a couple weeks, Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. Petrie, and Dr. Michael Barber are coming to Riverside, California for the 15th annual West Coast Biblical Studies Conference. Anyone who has a love for Scripture, I believe these three men, Dr. Hahn, Dr. Petrie, and Dr. Barber, will inspire you to fall deeper in love with the Bible. And it's the 18th and 19th of January. Just go to www.stjoe.net, and you can register online. But, you know, Deacon, I want to share one more thing that really grabbed it all with Pope Benedict XVI, because this is our show. He says, there's nothing more beautiful than to be surprised by the gospel, by the encounter with Christ. There's nothing more beautiful than to know him and to speak to others about our friendship with him. And I say, that's when we get to that point in our relationship with Jesus, then we share it with our friends. I guarantee everyone who's listening, it's awesome to be able to help somebody meet the person of Christ.
Beautiful. Our guest on Catholic Vitamins today has been the founder of St. Joseph Communications, the Catholic Resource Center, and Lighthouse Catholic Media. He's still on fire. He said he was in his 50s. He sounds like he's just gone through a Steubenville youth conference in his teens. But we are so blessed to have Terry Barber join us today. Thank you so very much, and may the Lord bless you, Terry.
Thank you, and God bless you, Deacon Bob.
Put that gospel-oriented music in there, because I'll tell you what, spending a little time with Terry Barber will set you on fire for sure.
I love gospel music.
I know. have a little bit of feedback from Brenda in Bloomington, Illinois, who says that she found a sweet treat and prize that arrived in the mail because she won by the Scrabble for Kerjiba.
Kerygma.
There you go. My mind is still on drugs. And she said thank you, and she also shared with us that she's been struggling somewhat through the Christmas season because of flu and illness in her family, and I guess her mother-in-law passed away. So we extend our prayers and wishes for recovery of health and spirit and mind.
And she was hoping that you were recovering too.
I am slowly getting better. If anybody's listening to this show, they will tell from my voice that I still sound pretty sick, but I'm beginning to feel better. All right, what do you got?
And I have to have you hit the pause button every once in a while because I have to cough.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Excuse me. Okay, we had a short thing from Michael Gannon. He posted this on Facebook, and he said he was thanking you for something. I don't remember what, but he said, Merry Christmas to you and Dee. By the way, I got a text today from my seminary and friend, Ivan. He was at Carmel serving at Mass and had the privilege of seeing Sister Channing afterwards.
Oh, wow.
He said she looked beautiful and radiant.
Sister Channing Dale. Oh, my.
We're so jealous.
I know. All right. Anything else, Dee?
Oh, one more here. We heard from our friend Mary in Louisiana.
Let's give her credit. She's an artist. She has her own website. She does beautiful work. And she is the lady who contributed the logo for Catholic Vitamins, the jar with the vitamins coming out of it that say adoration and testimony and other things.
She was so generous to do that for us. And we have used it a lot, Mary. Anyhow, she said, I usually send out Christmas cards, but this year I did not. I'm sending out a New Year's email. I know it's not the same as a card, but I'm sending this with much love and prayers. I have listened to almost every episode of your show. I was one of your very first listeners, and I listened to the very first episode when it first came out.
Wow. 4.5 years ago, almost.
I want to thank you for the amazing gift that you bring to us listeners with each and every episode. Please keep up this wonderful ministry. Your work is very much appreciated. Love, love, love. I am on our evangelization team, and I have proposed to our team that we have a new media night. I love the sound of that.
I really do, too.
There are so many people in our parish who don't even know what a podcast is or even know about the incredible resources out there in new media. Mm-hmm. Boy, is that the truth. This is my New Year's resolution. This year, my New Year's resolution is to fully live my faith in everything that I do, including my art.
Well, there you go. And that is part of what this show is about, the lady becoming on fire. Thank you so very much, Mary. That's great to hear. Well, Dee, we do not have a spoken reflection by our correspondent, Justin Stroh, but he has released a brand new album today, the day that we're putting this podcast together. The album title is Every Moment, Every Moment. And we have the theme song from the album, the feature song from the album. So here, instead of a spoken reflection, is a musical reflection from a great artist and evangelist, Justin Stroh. Dear friends, that beautiful music by Justin Stroh just shows you what kind of talent we have available. He has so many years of evangelization and music experience, entertaining for years and years with the Radix group, or Radix group, he used to perform with. And he still is a speaker, goes out and does youth conferences and confirmation work. He's just a great gift to Catholic Vitamins.
And now he has an offspring who is entering into music.
Mary Claire backed up some of the music on this new album. All right. What are we going to do, Dee?
I would like to welcome three new members to our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
Yay!
Chris Capolino, and I think he might be from New York. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's a she or a he. And Carrie Marsh in Missouri.
I know about Carrie. She's been beating me in words with friends.
And Sean McCarney over in the UK.
Hey, Sean.
He's part of the SQPN family, and he's got the podcast Just a Catholic Dad.
There you go. With a cutie, the two cute daughters. She's so cute.
She is cute. Katie.
All right. What do we have? Anything more to do here?
We need to draw for the Audrey Assad CD that we mentioned before.
Let me have that. I have talked about this a lot. We've played some of her music. The name of the album is Fortunate Fall. It's by Audrey Assad. And some of these songs, Fortunate Fall, Oh Happy Fault, I Shall Not Want, I particularly am touched by I Shall Not Want, and Lead Kindly Light, an old traditional Christian hymn. Just great, great music. So
we had announced this on the last podcast we did right before Christmas, so that was quite a while ago.
All right.
Here we go.
All right. And
you can open this one.
All right. Thank you for that. And our friend Mary Lewis in Arizona is the recipient of the Audrey Assad album.
Lucky Mary.
And so we'll get that on the way to her one way or another. I might just say to you, dear friends, we still have one copy left of It Is Well, Life in the Storm, the story by Chris Faddis of the love affair, the marriage, the family, and the ultimate passing of his wife, Angela, dear Angela, whom I pray for and about even till this day. And Chris and Angela Faddis were devout Catholics with two young children who trusted in the Lord and his plan for the family, never expecting what would happen with Angela. This is a great book. I've enjoyed this so much. And a couple people in the parish that have gotten a hold of this book have told me it is just great reading. If you'd like a copy of It As Well, send an email to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com, and we'll start a basket if we get many entries, and we'll draw a name. It Is Well, Life in the Storm by Chris Faddis. Dear, what else do we have to do before we wrap up today's show?
Our next vitamin, our Bite of Scrabble. Next vitamin will be M, as in Mary.
Uh-huh, but it's not Mary.
It's not Mary. Begins with M, ends in R. Six letters.
All right. So if you're new to us, the way it works is take a guess at what that word is. It'll be the next faith vitamin, the next Catholic vitamin for our show. And we put, again, entries, correct entries, into a basket and pull. And just like, who was it that said that other thing that I read just a minute ago, that they, when they came home, they found something in the mail ahead?
Oh, Brenda.
Brenda hadn't listened to the show yet, but you might be surprised to find something in your mailbox. All right. Do you have a vitamin?
I do.
All right. Why don't we do that?
From my calendar again, my Madonna House calendar. We crave greatness for our lives, and God asks us to become little. To pass through the door that leads to the kingdom, we must go down on our knees.
Hey, you know, that reminds me of the little thing that I did for Christmas with one of the Madonnas. You remember I did a bunch of saints' sayings and then had them guess?
Yes.
And now, who was it? It was the lady from the Americas who said, she's a saint, and I can't remember her name, but she said, the gate of heaven is very low.
Yeah,
you must must be humble. I'll try to remember to bring that up on the next show, or somebody can look that up. All right, I think we're near the end. Do we have anything else we need to do?
Oh, I think I've covered everything I had on my notes.
All right, Mariana Bartholomew is struggling with all kinds of things pulling at her in different directions. And I got an email just a few minutes ago which said that she had to run to, I think, her parents. So she begged forgiveness for not being able to join us this week. Blessings, Mariana, to you. Thank you to Justin for the music. And thank you to Fergal for the great reflection on the laity and things to be involved in to help build up our faith. Dee, is that it?
That's it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this Catholic Vitamins. We hope our voices, our spirits, and our faith will be better next week.
I do. Bye.
Oh, Dee, our going home music, our closing music, after our regular program close, will be Alicia Hernan from Steubenville, Ohio, from her album Beloved and the wonderful song You're the One.
From A to Z, Catholic vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You're the one for me. You're the one.